Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy. Joined by a pulsating orb of energy from the planet Zarton.
I'm trying to work with my my secondary overtones. Watch this.
Oh, I got a bit of it there.
A little bit.
Alistair Tremblay Birchall and the secondary overtones. when you were a kid and you got a splinter,
yes.
What did your parents do to get it out?
They didn't.
They didn't. They just left it in.
No, they used
it. It could still be in there. You could be mostly wood.
I could be mostly wood. luckily, I didn't get that many splinters, but often tweezers and a needle.
The needle, right? See, we had the needle always with the needle, and always they would. Like sterilize it with a flame beforehand. Your parents did this?
Never did that. Actually,
this was never, and it was never. My parents would do this, like with a match or something.
That
would, you know, light.
But then it makes it black.
Makes it black, but also hot. And as a kid, I had no idea what was happening and why they were doing this. And I genuinely came to the conclusion that they were doing it to make it hurt more. Like I just thought, well, if we make the needle hot, that will hurt our son more. That's why we're doing this.
It's a good theory.
Well, it is a torture. Like, you know, if this, it's just a question of scale, right? If this was a poker,
yep.
A red hot poker,
sure.
That they were going to jab into my skin,
yeah.
No doubt, that would be classified as torture.
But
they're getting away with it through a loophole.
But it would be fine to do that, and you would get away with it if, let's say, the kid had got a branch inside them.
That's true.
Yeah, you could justify it.
They can't get you for that, Alistair. That's a freebie.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, this is the theme for today's episode of Two in the Think Tank, justifications for torture. Ways, loopholes in the Geneva Convention. You asked for it on Twitter.
Yep, you said, here it comes.
Here it is, okay.
Waterboarding. Well, he was really thirsty.
Okay.
But what about the cloth, I hear you ask?
Waterboarding. What if just switch a few of the things around? Maybe the person is made of water. The water is lying on top of a person and you drop a whole lot of boards on them.
What about there was lots of smoke in the room?
Okay.
And so you were protecting their mouth from breathing in nasty chemicals, but they're also very thirsty. Justified waterboarding.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Also, when my parents used the needle, didn't hurt.
Didn't hurt. Well, no. It probably didn't hurt for me either, but I think I built it up quite a lot in my mind.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, no, but maybe it did
maybe
hurt.
I was imagining it.
I mean, you know.
I think it hurt.
Yeah. But I think my dad was just very good with a needle. He worked.
He's a medical professional.
Medical professional, but also he would occasionally sew things. So, you know, he had access to both sides of it. Because you don't really use a sewing needle in medicine. But those medical skills were transferable because of his experience repairing clothes.
Yeah, that was the bridge that he needed.
Mm-hmm.
He was synergizing those two worlds. I don't know if there are many other areas where craft overlaps with medicine. I mean, I don't know if you would do a macrame, Or what's that one where decoupage?
Mm, decoupage. Well, I guess
stick a whole lot of pictures of cats, glue them down.
Oh, what about that thing where you take people's skin and make a suit out of their?
Oh yeah, is that considered medicine?
Well,
is that
I mean,
one of the fields of medicine that they don't talk about very much, but it is still technically under the umbrella of medicine, and the umbrella is also made out of people's skin.
I guess it's like a human leather kind of thing you could have. Yeah, make it human leather umbrella.
Leather umbrella? Wouldn't work, would it? Suede umbrella? He's about as much use as a suede umbrella. Does suede really get damaged by the rain?
It seems silly to have clothing
really
like that.
It does.
But if Seinfeld, why would Seinfeld lie to us?
That's true. I think we should fact check Seinfeld. Let's do a Twitter account. You know how sort of about 80% of the content on Twitter is sort of variations on, like, modern-day Seinfeld and that sort of thing?
Yeah.
Let's do one that's fact-checking Seinfeld. Because I reckon they get away with a lot of shit in that show. Okay? And I want some data.
You don't think...
I want to debunk them.
You don't think Dick Shrink and Nicole?
I know Dick Shrink. Yeah. I've never felt more seen than in the shrinkage episode.
Yeah.
Don't you come for my shrinkage episode.
No, I've never felt more seen, therefore uncomfortable.
But there are other ones where I'm like, oh, come on. Like, you wouldn't be able to hook.
You wouldn't be able to hold off for 7 days off of masturbation.
All yours are penis-related, Alistair, and it's disgusting.
Are there any non-penis-related Seinfeld episodes? Also, Elaine doesn't have a penis as far as the show let us know.
That's not canon.
Yeah. I mean, J.K. Rowling might come out and tell us that actually Elaine had a penis the whole time.
Does she have the power to do that to other people's works as well?
Andy, she's J.K. Rowling.
She can rewrite anything.
Yeah.
Rewrite history. I don't see why not, right?
Is anything that we've said...
I think that could be a sketch, J.K. Rowling... I mean, people probably already do this as a Twitter joke.
Mm.
Right, do you think?
Pre this, was there anything else that was a sketch idea?
Let's see. Fact-checking Seinfeld. No, I don't know. I think it would be good, because you know how sometimes you laugh at things and then later on you find out that they're problematic in some way, right? Like I laughed a lot when I first saw Eddie Murphy's comedy special Raw or Delirious or whatever that one was. And now I find a lot of it is not okay.
I think that's what he finds as well.
Does he really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, but I wonder if there's some way that I can officially retract that laughter.
But do you need to?
No, but I would like to.
Yeah, I know, but...
I'd like to be able to write into some kind of laughter board or something like that and have them sort of strike it from the record, you know, from my permanent record.
But then would then I have to go and retract all the times that I thought that you were a person who did things that were worthwhile with your time?
Well, Alistair, fortunately, I think you're in luck because I'm not aware of any of those being.
there's all those things where you
that ever having happened.
No, I'm sure there's. There's all those times where you write something and it's like. It's only like when it's in competition with me, which we always write in competition, where
correct.
You're like.
Yes.
It seems like you try really hard. And.
Competing with you is almost never a factor in my writing, LSD.
I never really consider it competing, but when it's alongside and separate.
It can't help but be a competition.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, but there's always a winner.
Yes.
It's not a competition. Yes.
Are there any podcasts, you know, well, sorry, there's more to this. Don't jump in, Alistair.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've got more to say. Are there any podcasts that put two great works of literature head to head and just try and work out which one is better? Because I think that would be quite compelling. You know, you'd have to obviously read the works of literature, which is a hugely painful undertaking.
So we'd both have to read two works of literature.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe we could read one each and we should.
Sure, and then defend it from...
Yeah.
And then argue against the other one from a point of ignorance.
But that's everything now. You know, that is how things work now. Mm. You just know your own side of the argument. And then you can just have ad hominem attacks on the other person and try and undermine them.
Yeah.
I think this could be quite compelling.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that would be.
It's sort of like Dave Warnocky's Planet Broadcasting show, Book Cheat.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more of a book battle. You know? Absolutely. It's a book off.
A book off. Yeah, the book down. Off. Yeah.
What do they do with the hip-hop? Book battle? Rap battle? Is there anything other than rap battle? What are those ones? What did Eminem do in the movie 8 Mile?
Freestyle rap battle.
Freestyle rap battle. Mm. Yeah, well that, I mean, in a freestyle book battle, that's where neither of us has read the book that we're defending.
Yeah, yeah. And whereas this is more of a constrained style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Locked down, trapped. Anyway, I think that's a great idea for a podcast. Mm-hmm. And even if you're not writing it down as a sketch idea, which I'm not necessarily saying it is, I do think that it would be a good thing.
Do you think we should start again?
No. Alistair, no, we're not going to start again.
No?
No, no, no. No. Especially when you say it in that tone.
Okay.
Because, and especially when you say it while I'm talking. I can't help but take that as some kind of attack. Like... So you, Alistair, let's do an experiment. You tell me an idea of yours for, let's say, 1 or 2 minutes. Go. You tell me one of your ideas.
Okay. So it's a pig, but there's like worms that live in its nostrils. And they hate each other. You know, and so there's one who's got a beard, and the other one, he's actually a rattlesnake. Right, that. Mm-hmm. And the pig is walking through the desert.
Do you think we should start again?
Eh?
Do you think we should start again?
Definitely.
You know that expression, never go into a self, never go, get into an ass-kicking contest with a porcupine?
Yeah.
Yeah. And never get into a put, a never get into a, wait. Never... get into an insult competition with somebody who hates themselves and their body of work.
There you go. I mean, I think there's something with this pig sketch, though. I mean, if we're...
Well, I think a pig... Look, of all the animals, the pig's nose definitely looks like the one that was most designed to accommodate two worms. Mm. I am not going to fight you on that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is classic... Two little wormholes in the end of his little piggy snout.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they are.
Yeah. What if
the
three little pigs had gone into a snout to hide from the big bad wolf?
Do they go into one of their own snouts? Do they shrink down in some way?
Or maybe like China and America, they join the competition to make bigger and bigger pigs that won't die due to this swine flu or whatever, this pig fever that's done.
So
they managed to create a huge.
And is the way that they do that by making bigger pigs? The reason.
I think
too
making,
big to fail. Are they making a pig that's too good?
I think
big to
people.
Fail?
When didn't we read something where they said they'd got made a pig that's like the weight of a polar bear? It's like 900 kilograms, not 900 kilometers.
It has no weight at all, but it is 900 kilometers long. It's a single one-dimensional.
It's a pig gas.
It's a pig line. It's a purely theoretical pig line, Alistair. Swine line.
Well, why?
There's slice. A swine line between... Anyway.
Why slice up pig meat
Correct.
At the deli when you could just make it flat at the beginning?
Make a two-dimensional pig.
Yeah.
Why not just grow it flat? Alistair,
mm-hmm.
I do love the idea that you can make a pig. One of the ways you can combat swine flu is just by making the pigs bigger and bigger and bigger. I don't know why that works, but it does for me.
Yeah, well, I guess
you've
got to try everything. But I guess they're also, whilst making it bigger, trying to make one that has its genes edited so that it
there's more pig to eat, more food. Yeah, I think a pig that's too big to fail is a sketch idea for me. And I think then what happens is everybody, obviously... is very excited about the pig, and they start investing hugely in the pig, and maybe even trying to sail the pig across the North Atlantic Ocean during during iceberg season.
And oh no, the pig got very cold by scraping against her and got pneumonia, but not the pig fever.
No, no. That was still open as an option.
I just, for some reason, I thought of a pig variety, which maybe that's what this pig variety is, this pig that's too, but calling it the Pink Lady.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I think, but can I also like the idea, Alistair, of breeding a pig that is totally flat. Now, I'm picturing the pig as being flat so that you look down, it's like looking at a pig from front on, head first, right? So you see the pig's face, but the pig is just lying there flat on a table or something like that, and then it's perfectly flat, and it's maybe ham thickness.
Sure.
You know, so it's 2 millimeters thick or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I guess there would be a very thin layer of skin and sort of and sort of like that the pig bristle
or something
pig bristle.
Like that. Do you have to peel that off then in order to get to the layer of ham inside?
It's like the packaging that, you know, ham comes in prepackaged ham.
Right. Because really, everyone says this about bananas whenever they see bananas in a package in the supermarket. They say, but it already comes in its own packaging.
That's right.
All right. Well, but they never say that with ham.
They don't.
But you look at a pig. Ham already comes in its own packaging.
Exactly.
And it's crazy that we take it out of the packaging in order to put it into different packaging in order to sell it. So let's just breed a pig that's flat like that. You peel off the face.
That's right, yeah.
And the front of the pig.
I guess you get your fingers in the snout.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Right? That's the ring pull there.
Mm-hmm.
Get them in there. You rustle the worms out of the way. And then you peel back the pig face. You take out the layer of ham that's within.
It's already been...
Drop that into your sandwich. You slice it up, maybe spread it on your pizza.
You roll up the slices into little, you know, cold cut sort of...
Put a toothpick through them.
Frilly?
Absolutely.
Yeah, great.
A frilly toothpick.
And then you could sort of, I guess you could really farm them sort of in,
you could,
in like a,
you?
In sort of even like a file.
in a vertical file, in a filing cabinet or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Or horizontal, I guess, you know.
Or horizontal, that's true.
You can go up, you know. I don't know what do they eat? They always seem like they're in a place with no greens. I guess you just feed them outside food. They're not like grazing or whatever.
Yeah.
I guess they kind of eat a lot of stuff.
They probably just give them grain and just grain.
Apples.
I don't know if they give them many apples.
No. It'd be a good place to put all the red delicious.
Yeah, that's true. Do you think there's been some sort of mistake and the red delicious is a pig apple? It's basically it's a pig apple.
I think. They've seen a huge decrease in popularity in America.
The Red Delicious.
Yeah, the Red Delicious.
Fucking time.
And people are looking for a sort of a more a new workhorse apple, and that's why there's such a big budget for launching this new Cosmic Crisp.
Sure.
I read about a taste test recently in one of the sort of a food production sort of a food website, and they were saying that on the blind test. The Cosmic Crisp only came as a sort of a middling apple in the test, but and that's a problem because of its extra price.
Yeah, well, you would expect it.
But the Red Delicious came down the bottom,
so the system works.
You know, it came on top.
Pink Lady.
Pink Lady.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
but my favorite pig.
But there's so many licensing fees with the Pink Lady.
Really,
the Australian apple. Yeah,
is it Australian?
Mm-hmm.
The Pink Lady is an Australian apple.
Yeah, it's a.
I have never felt more proud of my country.
Yeah, no, it's an Australian apple.
I wonder if they had the New Season's Mutsu on that list.
New Season's Mutsu?
The Mutsu, that is an apple. I think it's a Japanese apple.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
and it is.
And the Pink Lady is a mixture between two, and I can't remember what they are, but the one of them I didn't recognize. I think it might have had the name Crisp in it.
Honey?
No, not a Honey Crisp, no.
No. That's probably a breakfast cereal. Anyway, this is all good stuff, and we do love to talk about apples on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is another idea for a podcast, Alistair. What we'll do is we'll both come in, right, and we've both eaten a different variety of apple, okay?
Yeah.
And the other person hasn't eaten the apple. And then we argue about which apple's best, and then at the very end, after we've decided which is best,
yes,
we both get to taste the other person's apple, and we find out if we were right.
And then we stubbornly agree with ourselves anyway.
Yeah. Well, the point is, what after, because the vote is final, right? Mm-hmm. And this is... Alistair, this is actually a deeply satirical point about the state of politics in the world today, because yes, this is what happens. Each party, only each side actually knows what they offer and what they are intending to do,
mm-hmm,
right? Much like an apple, right?
Well, it just is what it is.
And then you argue, and they argue with each other, and then they vote, and then only after they vote do you actually get to find out what you voted for.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Really, elections should be held in reverse, right?
Mm-hmm.
What we do is every 4 years we take a vote to decide whether or not the previous government was a mistake. And then we get a new government and we decide again, in retrospect, we find out whether or not that was good or bad or not.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not quite sure how this works in practice because I don't know how we decide who the next government is.
Mm.
But if we're just voting on the last one, yeah, but I think it could be something. It's a retrocracy, right? It's a... Well, okay, this is what it is, okay?
Right. I'm ready.
Every 4 years, we vote... All the people leave government, and we all get to vote on whether or not they have to go to prison, right?
That's good, yeah.
So you get in. Maybe you're selected randomly, I'm not sure, okay? You serve your term for 4 years... And then there's individually each candidate for each district or whatever, each electorate, all their people go into the voting booth and to vote on whether or not their representative should go to prison. And then you get another randomly allocated person.
I think there's that vote, and then the next vote is whoever you vote for, whoever is around. Like, but I think that would be good because then you would you'd be getting rid of the people you really don't like. Also. I just like the idea of democratizing justice.
Because
I know at the moment it's just 12 of our peers, but what about the people who aren't our peers, who are just around?
And have the time to go in. It's also non-compulsory voting. So it really is just who's available and whether or not they want to fuck with you.
Yeah.
I'm pushing back against your idea because you're trying to introduce, you also want people to vote on who gets in next. I think that corrupts this system.
Okay, but wait. But so then how does the next
group... It's random.
Oh, it's random. Okay.
Yeah, it's random.
Yeah, the random part is fine, but I think is interesting. But I think you want people who do have an
idea. You downgraded me from fine to interesting, and I like it.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine in a, like, you know, in a sort of, like, let's not do it kind of way.
Yeah, okay.
But you still want people who are driven... I think.
Well, they will be driven because they don't want to have to go to prison. They're motivated.
I know, but to not commit a crime, you know, I know you don't have to commit crimes
in this system.
But it won't help you if you do.
If you do.
It'll work against you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Committing a crime would be one of the reasons we'd send you to prison.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But also to just kind of do nothing will be a little bit...
Well, people will be disappointed, especially if things are going wrong, you know, nothing.
But then also you could be like, let's just give a lot of stuff to the people, like a lot of free stuff.
Yeah, right. So you're thinking there'll be a lot of pork barreling and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So we might just end up with exactly the system we have now, except with a lot more fear.
Yeah, but I guess maybe they'd give less money to, like, the coal industry. Less.
Okay, how about this? This is even better, Alistair.
Yeah.
You don't just vote on whether or not the last person goes to prison.
Mm-hmm.
You also get to vote on whether you've changed your mind about any of the previous 10 representatives.
That you've sent to That you've sent to prison?
Either that you've sent to prison or not sent to prison. So if you haven't sent them to prison, and 10 years down the track it turns out that they were wrong about some really big long-term issue like climate change, we still get to send them to prison.
Great.
There's no statute of limitations.
Oh, that's really
basically
good.
Yeah. And even if they're dead, we can dig up their corpse
and put it in prison. Yeah, that's good. Okay. What are we calling this system?
The retrocracy.
The retrocracy. Yeah.
It works backwards.
Great.
And I'm not sure if to really sort of have some kind of beautiful symmetry to it, everyone would have to be in prison. And then maybe you only... Yeah, look, I'm not sure, Alistair.
Everyone would have to be in prison.
Maybe. I want to leave that option on the table.
Wait. So the idea is that everyone in the world
is in prison, yes. And then you get freedom during your time, and then you can get sent back to prison if you do a bad.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A job.
Oh, this is getting bad again.
Yeah, I mean, fine,
in a way that we shouldn't implement.
It felt like there was something there for me.
Yeah.
And I followed just an inkling. Andy, and I got to say, I'm glad I did.
Andy, I think you may have managed to achieve making that pig that's too big to fail.
An inkling. Oh, I love an inkling.
Yeah? What is it, a small ink?
I guess so. I guess if you have an inkling, does that mean that you can be inkled?
Uncled. Baby uncle. Oh, it's like baby.
A baby uncle.
Mm.
An uncling.
An uncling.
That's actually beautiful, Alistair. Yeah. Write that down. I think.
Are you sure you don't want to start again?
No, Alistair. Because what you've discovered here is my kids have got a book, which is baby animal names.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's the names for baby animals that already exist. But that's not a two in the think tank idea. What is a two in the think tank idea is a book of baby names for things that don't already have baby names and don't even necessarily have a baby version, but it will be adorable. Yeah. And an uncling is a beautiful name for a baby uncle.
Yeah, you're right.
That has up until this point not existed. Because also the collective noun game, that's crowded. Mm. Everybody's like, oh, the collective noun for a group of politicians is a bunch of fuckwits. It's called actually a bunch of fuckwits of politicians.
Yeah.
Okay? That's been done.
Of course it's
been done. And very well.
Yeah.
But the baby name game, wide open. Fresh meat.
I might need to go to the bathroom.
All right. And it turned out he didn't need to go to the toilet, and he didn't go anywhere at all, and we're just here.
So I would have just said, I need to go to the toilet. And then you would have said, okay. And then you go, turned out, and then it would be come back straight away, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I figured that would, you know, that's the beauty of editing. It makes it seem much more natural.
Seamless.
Yeah, seamless.
Yeah.
You know, what they'll hear and they'll think has happened is you said, I just need to go to the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And what they must have happened is that I took one look at you and was able to assess that you actually didn't need to go to the toilet. Turned out you didn't need to go to the toilet.
It's actually been so long since I went to the toilet. I'm getting pretty close to maybe needing to go again. But through the magic of editing, it seems like no time has gone by at all. All right. We were talking about unclings, I think.
Oh, yeah. I think this is such a beautiful idea. Baby names for things that don't have babies. Mm. You know, little microwaves or whatever.
Tables, yeah, I guess. Yeah. Whales, they've got babies.
And then
the
illustration of, like, what a baby would look. Whales. What's a thing that doesn't have babies?
Yeah.
People?
Yeah.
Dogs?
Yeah.
Dogs don't? No.
Let's see.
I guess babies don't have babies. What would a baby look like?
Little baby, like a sort of a baby in its larval form.
Yeah, I guess.
Or I guess if it's just two babies had a baby.
You don't yeah, this think... is all a bit unpleasant, actually.
I know, but we would do it back. Through
We'll do it genetic, tastefully.
Through genetics.
Yeah, capturing some of that baby DNA.
Get some baby DNA in there. And then impregnate a baby.
I thought we were doing it through genetics, Celestine.
Yeah, we are.
Can we do it, in a test tube?
Or I guess you could use like a surrogate. You know, this baby couple, and they are a couple even though they're two separate babies.
Oh, they've never met.
Never met. We could use a surrogate, and they'll give birth to a baby.
You know what? This could happen.
Mm.
This is going to happen in...
Today.
This is going to happen in medicine, right, where a baby or an embryo even in the womb, you're going to be able to take a little bit of that DNA.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to take a little bit of another embryo's DNA. Mm-hmm. You're going to be able to mix those together, right? Implant that into somebody else. Get that baby out prematurely out of that other person.
Mm-hmm.
And then those two babies are going to have a baby who's born before they're even born. You see what I'm saying?
No. Start again.
Okay. Say two people independently become pregnant.
Yeah.
Right? So there's an embryo growing inside those two people.
Okay.
Right? Say week two, right? You go in, you grab one cell out of each of those embryos.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You mix those together. Right?
Create a new baby.
Create a new embryo. You implant that into somebody else. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, the first two embryos, they go to full term.
Great.
Right?
The other one.
9 months. The other one, that comes a month early.
Pull it out 32 weeks, or no, 34 weeks.
Yeah, okay. Now, it's been born 2 weeks before its parents. You have a baby who's older than its parents.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's a baby, or it's an embryo baby.
And it has that embryo DNA.
Yeah. Oh,
I think something about a baby that's been born before its parents is interesting, and I think it justifies being on the pad.
Yeah.
And we find out, you know, why are we doing this? Again, it's one of those things. It's interesting. It's a slippery slope.
Well, it's Ripley's you know? Believe It or Not.
Yes.
Who are like, looks like we're going to have to start. There's no more weird things happening. We're going to have to start making them happen ourselves.
Yeah. Ripley's, can you believe we justified this to ourselves ethically? Mm-hmm. Can you believe the ethics board approved this or not?
Mm-hmm. But...
And they did.
But why would you even bother having an ethics board? They stand in the way of things.
That's true. Well, I guess you need to have an ethics board so you can tell somebody to go hang.
Yeah, you know? You go hang.
You go hang. And then you go ahead and you create your vision, your visionary vision it's of a amazing. Thing that people can't actually believe or not.
That baby could maybe teach its parents to speak.
Yes.
It's really going to undermine their authority.
It's hugely. Hugely. Imagine. Or, you know.
Who's raising these people, though? The scientists?
The cruel law of the jungle?
Mm.
Do you abandon them all in a jungle?
I guess you put them in a little... sack.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And the
all
one,
three of them?
The one who doesn't eat the other, like the one who doesn't get eaten by the other two.
In the sack?
In the sack. Well, this is shark rules. You know? One doesn't get eaten, gets to survive and go on to grow and be big.
You could, all those embryos
could
all be in the same womb. What do you think of that? How do you like that?
And you're going to get one out before the other?
Yeah.
How?
Science.
Just open the bag and what you hope and close it fast enough before the other two start coming out.
Yeah.
We're not talking about just a normal bag here, Andy. We're talking about a cervix.
They could be in separate sacks.
You could put a drawstring on the cervix.
Drawstring cervix. Sure. You feeling good about any of this?
Well, you know, I mean, I guess if we created an artificial womb,
mm-hmm.
it could have a drawstring cervix rather than this being a sort of a woman's body that we're talking about.
This, you see, this is why you have an ethics board.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find ways to get a, to sidestep them, work around, and then you can go in there and you can rub it in their faces.
Well, maybe this is why we don't need an ethics board. We're clearly self-policing.
That's true.
You know? And they would have just said no.
Mm.
When we came in here saying, were we representing Ripley's Believe It or Not or wanting to make a baby that is older than its parents by making a baby?
Has anyone ever looked at the ethics of just saying no all the time?
Yeah, that's...
What's that doing to me?
It's a real downer.
I'm going to grow up all weird.
And
I'm also a baby.
You're a baby scientist?
Here's an idea, Alistair.
What would be a baby scientist called?
Baby scientist... No, we'll come up with them later. Don't put me on the spot.
Science.
Yeah, a little.
Sciencino.
Yeah, it'll be something good.
Science.
Something real cute.
Tino. Scientinia. Scientino.
Frankenstein's mobster.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, what is that?
Okay, great. So wait. Now. When they say Frankenstein's mobster, when they say Frankenstein's monster, I think they're actually referring to the scientist. From what I know. So Frankenstein's monster's monster, that's the monster.
That's the monster, yeah. Yeah. I think Frankenstein's mobster could absolutely be like an animated Disney kind of thing or something like that, right? And
somebody who's trying to make the best organized criminal.
Yeah,
by making them even more organized.
See, you get the bits you want and you put them together. That's organization.
That's yeah.
And I think that this person being built for crime, right? And then somehow finding they have a heart or something like that and becoming... Because this is sort of the opposite of Frankenstein's monster, because what Frankenstein, the scientist, originally wanted to do was to create a perfect man, I believe. He thought he would make someone who was better than humanity by building the monster.
Yeah,
right? But it turned out to be a monster. But if you set out specifically to create... a mobster, and maybe you could even have that scene where Igor goes to get the brain, but accidentally drops the jar with the brain of the mobster in it, and instead has to go and get the brain from like some beautiful little lovely person, a little like, old lady who was part of the knitting circle at the local CWA. Okay, gets that brain, takes that back, that goes in, and then the mobster, the big monster mobster. Turns out to be really nice, ultimately.
But with the skills of a criminal.
Yeah, because all that's in the muscle memory.
It's in the muscles. You've got the arms of a stabber.
He's got the stabbing arms.
Yeah, the legs of a cat burglar.
Mm.
Got the, I guess, the other arms of a puncher or like a sort of a, maybe a leg breaker. Mm-hmm. It's holding a baseball bat.
I wonder how big a role punching plays in crime these days.
Do you think
punching stays are over?
No, I think punching is one of the building building blocks. It's just the fear of violence is a big thing,
Sure.
So I think, that's your first step is punching.
The first step is with the hands.
Mm.
Those big punching hands.
Yes, the first taste is with the hand.
Mm.
That's the that's instead of the eye.
Mm. Yeah,
I guess that's what you were saying. But
I guess,
and in a weird way that no one would make a connection unless they shared a brain with you like me.
That's all I'm doing it for anyway, Alistair. So I don't care. I think Frankenstein's mobster is absolutely a thing.
It's written down.
It'll happen.
It's already a Disney thing that we're.
Yeah, we'll write. We'll write the script.
It's basically.
You know what? I want to write this script, Alistair.
Mm? Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to make it happen.
Well, we already have a couple of ideas
there. We could even make it a kids' TV show.
Yeah. And I love it, Andy.
Thanks.
I love it.
You were about to say something negative. Introduce. You changed. You flipped it around midstream.
It's, I think you're never too young to be introduced to the idea of career criminals. But you know, also it's a scientist who works for evil. You know, he's found a way. He's found a model to fund their own science, and that's by creating mobsters who are
on demand,
who then make their own. Money to fund your own future science projects.
And think about it: who are you most likely to be able to find severed body parts of? Probably mobsters.
Mobsters.
People who've pissed off other mobsters. They're always getting their bodies chopped up in bathtubs or something. Yeah. There's all these limbs floating around. Just
it's true.
You just dredge the river. You're going to find 10 perfectly good legs.
But not good ones, right? Like, you know, not good mobsters.
Not perfectly good legs. No. Oh, you're right. So you want really the mobsters who don't get their legs chopped off.
Yeah, those are the ones whose legs, yeah.
That's sort of the ultimate test. Yeah, that's the irony of it, I suppose. You're only going to be able to get failed ones.
We might need to go on to the three words of a listener.
I'd love that.
I don't even need to pick up my phone because I've written it down right here, Andy. Three words from a Patreon supporter.
Periwinkle. Periwinkle. The first one's Periwinkle.
You're absolutely wrong.
Okay, well, the second one
Braden
is...
Braden Douglas is the listener. Hello, Braden.
Second one is notwithstanding.
You couldn't be more wrong.
Okay, and the final one is ant.
Ant?
Ant.
I know who would like that.
Ants?
No.
Oh.
Your aunt.
Yeah.
The three words from today's listener are very similar... chewed.
Oh, I see what's happened here.
Yeah.
He's playing with the word verisimilitude.
Whoa. Verisimilitude. But, oh, because that's how you would say it, right? Chewed.
Yeah. How would you say it? Oh, you say tood, wouldn't you?
Tood, yeah.
Say it for me. Pronounce me like one of your French words.
Verisimilitude. No. Verisimilitude. Tude. Verisimilitude. I don't know.
I think I'd probably say it with a ch- anymore.
Who cares?
No, I'm sorry.
It's okay, Andy. I completely accept your... My guts are acting up a bit weird, so I'm...
Feeling funny.
Yeah. I did come up with an idea when I wrote this down. So technically it's an outside idea. It's from when we were still in the pot, in the tank, but it was pre-record. This is a mathematician who takes numbers, who classifies numbers by ones that are, you know, there's some that are like, well, these are connected because they're all square numbers. If you put the dots, if you look at the number of dots, you can make a square with... the number of dots like that, you know, like that's a thing, right? And then there's others that these are all prime numbers, right? They're all not divisible by anything but themselves and one. Well, these ones
are... By the way, I call bullshit on being divisible by yourself. I don't consider that to be really dividing. And I don't consider being divisible by one to be really being divisible by anything.
No, divisible by one is nothing.
Yeah.
But divisible by yourself...
You think that's something?
Because you're dividing it into ones, which is one of the most valuable divisions.
Yeah, fine.
In terms of at least like if you're trying to, let's say you had 10 people at your house and you had 10 meals and you were like, well, let's not bother dividing this into 10.
Because I don't consider that to
be valid. Type of division.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I stand by what I said earlier. Yeah. In the cold light of day, it really stacks up.
Yeah, but this is a mathematician who's like, looks at numbers and groups them together based on which ones, if you were to put the number in your mouth and masticate it for a bit, when you take it out, it kind of still looks roughly the same.
Okay. So give me an example of what one of those numbers would be.
33.
Yeah.
I think if you masticate it, it would come out and it would kind of still look like have roughly the same amount of bumps in it and things like that.
I think the number 4 looks broken. Mm. It looks like it was supposed to look differently,
Yeah.
It looks like a broken clothesline or something like that. Like, the number four can't mm-hmm. be how Especially, you they wanted it to
and there's
look.
And there's too much variation. There's that, you know, there's the sort of rooftop house kind of one. Yeah. And then there's the one with the open sort of...
Yeah, upside down H kind of thing.
Like, or, yeah, long U.
Yeah. There's way too many... As there is with the lowercase a, by the way.
Yeah, and there's a lot of variation there. But one you couldn't chew... And then bring it out and look
at
the
thing. You'd be
like,
right.
Is it a seven? Is it a is it a couple of commas?
All right, Al, this is definitely something. I mean, the other thing is that like you could take it just down to a more food type direction of, you know, soup and stuff like that, which or, you know, minestrone. It's food where it doesn't look any different after it's gone into your belly.
Oh right? Yeah.
Even if you chewed it up and then spat it back out onto the plate, you literally can't tell. And you can do that over and over and over again, and it's never going to make any difference to how good it looks. And that could be a kind of like a... That could be... We could take that back to a mathematical thing of like being... Chewing being a mathematical operation that you perform on a number. It's like zero, right?
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want to zero. It's still going to be zero.
Yeah.
Multiply it, divide it, all that sort of stuff.
Can you chew it and it looks the same? It's the same, yeah.
Well, but then
it could turn into an eight. Maybe
like soup is kind of like the zero, or tomato soup is like the zero of mathematics, in that you can chew it up,
yeah,
and it's you can slice it, you can dice it. It's not going to make any difference to the tomato soup.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Don't know if that's a sketch, but anyway. Alistair, I think we got something.
I think we got something.
I think we absolutely got something, and we got it out early. It seemed like it was going to be really slow to begin with, right? But here we are, 45 minutes. We've done all our business.
Absolutely.
We've given people right. very much what it says on the tin.
You know, sometimes we start out strong and we end weak.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we start out slow and then we end middle. So,
yeah.
And I don't know which one this is today.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not even talking on the right part of the microphone. All right. I'm going to go through the list. We got Book Off Podcast. That's where that's just more of a podcast
it's
idea.
A book off.
But it's where two people read a book and then they argue for why their book is the best one.
Two works of literature enter, one work of literature leaves. We could literally even burn the book that fails.
Oh, that'd be quite nice. It'd
be nice and symbolic, or shred it or whatever.
Mm. Or
showing
chew
out
it.
Contempt.
Chew it.
Chew it.
Then people creating a pig that's too big to fail.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, I already like that. But or a pig that's flat so that you... And then you can just peel off the skin and then the ham's just in there like that.
It's perfect.
Thin or minute, you know, little minute steaks.
Look, as long as we're creating abominations, why not make ones that are a little bit more useful?
Or, yeah, or even a bit more abominable. You know, that's truly abominable.
You slide under a door.
You know, because I think a lot of lab-grown meat, you're just picturing sort of like little muscle fibers growing and things like that. But why not make the whole pig still, but just make it abominable and flat like a packet?
Correct. I still want it to have a face.
That's right. I still want it to feel pain.
Yeah.
Actually, that was the basis of one of our sketches.
Is it possible to get the pain but without the meat? Can we just grow pain in a lab?
Great.
Just a jar of pain.
Can we grow pain and sadness and loss?
Yes. In a dish?
You know that bit, you know the sadness from that comes from knowing that an animal has lost its life? Is there a new way to just recreate that? And
yeah, but without the valuable nutrients?
Could I get nothing out of it? Is there a way that we could get nothing out of it at all?
And could it have a vertical mouth? There's no reason for it, but it does create suffering. Is that possible? Mate, that's bloody voting for the bloody Tories in the UK general election, which probably happened last week, isn't it, eh? That they probably won. I'm calling it now. They probably won. Jeez, your gut just made a loud noise, didn't it, Al?
Yeah. I'm going to say that it's a hung parliament. And, no. I'm going to say that at this point, I'm feeling bad about British politics, but maybe a little bit excited. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can feel something in my gut. I'm not sure if it's good. We got retrocracy. It's a vote. Instead of we're fixing democracy, but instead of voting in some people, we're just voting whether or not the last people need to go to jail.
I love it.
Then we got Unkling.
Mm.
It's the young version, the baby versions of things that don't have baby versions.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got creating a baby that's older than its parents through making a baby.
It's just interesting, isn't it?
It's very interesting. And we've got the Ripley's Believe It or Not people on board. Frankenstein's Mobster. I mean, that's already a TV series that's had 12 seasons. You can already picture it.
Yeah, I can picture every single season.
Mathematician who groups numbers based on whether they look similar after they've been chewed. And then we've
the
got
the fact that you went to numbers with that one is so great.
Then we got growing nothing but the feeling of loss. For no.
That's a happy way to end, isn't it?
Yeah.
Rinkin dinkin, little Lincoln, Rinkin dinkin, little Lincoln, Rinkin dinkin, Rinkin dinkin. That's not even Alistair doing the song. That's just his body. That's just what his body needed to do. I'm at Stupid Old Andy on Twitter. He's at Alistair TB. We are at Two in Tank. You can write us a review on iTunes. We would love that. You can support us on Patreon. Give us 3 words. Get our bonus episodes. Check out some of the latest Sci-Fi Try Guys. Alistair's going to go off to do some business. And we love you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.